So that's where we're going to go. And we can read beginning at the 11th chapter, verse 17 for a change. Now remember, this is the church that was divided over personalities. Wouldn't it have been nice if those people had the portion of the Holy Spirit that would give them the wisdom to let Paul be Paul, and Peter be Peter, and Apollos be Apollos, and Timothy be Timothy. But no, they couldn't do it. They started way back there. Not running interference for the guy carrying the ball, but interfering with the guy trying to grab the ball. You know, that was Brother Branham's biggest lament. They were so busy trying to hog his ministry, trying to duplicate it, trying to come up with bigger and better tents and bigger and better meanings and everything else, and they blew it. I want to ask you a question again. Where is Oral Roberts? Nothing from nowhere. Amen. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Come on. God doesn't go down in a blaze of ignominy and shame. He goes up in a blaze of glory. It's not the way it should be. I know people didn't think, they thought Brother Branham didn't go down in a blaze of glory. He sure did. He brought the word, was over. Same pillar of fire that brought the word was here revealing it. People don't believe that. They don't believe the judge of all the earth. It's the first thing Brother Branham taught in 1960, then again in 1963. Positively, judge, judge, judge. Each time he emphasized, that's what I said to my friend Jack Moore. He's a great Pentecostal theologian. Jack, what does that mean? He said, it wasn't what Jack said. He said, that's a picture of the old English judge. It's the judge. That's what James 5 says. That's the one that stood at Abraham before destruction. What do people want? They want God to come down with a 4x4 now and a legion of angels and everybody over the head? It wouldn't do any good if he smacked them over the head. He that hath ears to hear will hear. He will understand. Poor old Paul. Now they're coming to the Lord's Supper. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better but for the worse. I've said many a time, you can come to church and go away worse than you came. It's up to you. Starting with the preacher, it's up to you. If he preached a bunch of hogwash and you listen, you're in worse shape than ever. Now you're bogged down with more detritus and spiritual filth. Who needs it? Need a new blood transfusion. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there'll be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. That's the easiest thing in the world to get divisions. Get them over any officer in the church, or anybody in the church. Well, I wish he'd do so-and-so. I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. Hey, if somebody wants you to do something, just do it, and thank God you can do something. A glass of cold water doesn't lose its reward. I know, I guess a lot of people think I prayed my stuff up here a lot because I'm kind of flamboyant. I admit it. I admit I'm a ham. I don't kid myself at all. I get carried away at times. I can be absolutely boisterous. But you know, in my heart, I don't mean anything like that at all. If you want the ministry, you can have it. But I tell you one thing, you can't have it. It doesn't trickle down from me to anybody. What William Branham had only trickled down by the Word. It trickled down by God through the Holy Spirit into that Word, into the prophet, to the fivefold ministry. And from that time on, it's up for grabs. Nobody will ever take my place, and I'll never take your place. Wouldn't it be awful if you... I wouldn't want to take your place. And you'd be stupid if you want to take my place. You think your gut wrenches now. Maybe it's worse than mine, I don't know. But you just kid yourself. Paul put up with it. This identification. Why can't we all identify with Christ? They went through this up in the camp meeting in Canada. Up at Brother Gunther's. Brother Harold Marconda was there. Somebody asked, said something, and AWOL Frank got very upset because, you know, he's a great Prussian general. The high mucky mucky doctor, Frank, now, you know. Frank. Very frank with you. So they asked him to pray, and he wouldn't pray. Well, the preachers got disgusted now because there's a bunch of Germans there and what have you, and they'll get this tape, I hope, and hear it. They're still around. I'm to take the cover off, because that's what happened. They began taking sides, and they said, well, Frank was wrong. Well, the German boys, they figured blood was thicker than the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed in a German vein. You know, English do the same things, French do the same thing. You're stupid, you do it. Unspiritual, do it. Well, they began taking sides. So in a restaurant, they're arguing, and Harold Marcon's sitting there. Just quiet as could be, because Herod wasn't about to argue. So once they began saying, well, whose side are you on? Well, Harold couldn't take any longer. He said, I'll tell you one thing right now, boys. You'd better be on Jesus' side. Amen. Brother, I tell you, he calmed him right down. Well, enough said. Now he said there's divisions. Then he said there must be heresies, because he said that's the way it goes. So it can be approved amongst you that those that are approved will stick with the word. Now that's one of the tough ones, because right there people want to be different. They want different ideas. They think, hey, our church is really great because this man's got this idea and that man's got that idea and this man's got another idea, and he pools it. I went to a certain church, supposed to be in this message years ago, and they're all sitting around pooling. I don't play pool. Don't play billiards, don't play pool. And I knew they had a wrong spirit. They got the same spirit right today. You don't pool your resources. You don't have anything to say. The word is the word brought by a vindicated prophet. There's no room for heresies. Sometimes it's tough, but it's good for us. We need correction. The word of God has always been corrective. The very fact that Almighty God said, you take the world over and run it, was corrective, because he meant, don't let the world take you over and run you. Works both ways. When you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, what they did, that's no Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh each other of his own supper. One's hungry and one's drunk, and carry on. He said, haven't you got houses to do that? Isn't it a shame, he said, you do that in the house of God? How can you call yourself Christians and be that away? He said, I'm not going to praise you. He said, I'm scolding you, and you got it coming to you. And I said, let me tell you once and for all what I received of the Lord by revelation, and it cannot be changed. What you are dealing with is the broken bread signifying the broken body, the drinking of the wine, which you all partake in, the same as eating of the broken bread, signifies the blood that was shed, the life that was shed, the same light that comes back upon us. Now, in doing what you are doing, you are showing forth the Lord's death till he come. Now, he's talking of a literal, because Jesus said, I will do this anew with you in the kingdom. So, there's people in this message say, well, he's present, so I don't take communion. I don't take foot washing. See? And it's funny, though, I get a word from out west where all this crud goes on, and I've met some of the people from out there. I don't say I was happy about it. But one of the guys spreading this stuff, he's trying to make up to a woman sexually. You see what I've been telling? You get off this word, you will start to lie. You'll get into sex. Amen. You're a bunch of idolaters. You stay with this word. Because you're stuck, you've heard it. No, you can't say you haven't, because this is white throne. And every word that I'm saying and every thought that you are thinking is recorded. So that God knows exactly why I'm saying these things and how you're listening. So, you can't kid God. Brother Branham proved it through discernment. Oh, don't you tell me what he could do, because I was there when he did it. It was bad enough for a man to do the prophet of God. It's not going to be a child's game when we stand before the pillar of fire, which we will, in the presence of Jesus who died for us and rose again, of which we are speaking. And I said, let a man examine himself. Because many are unworthy in what they're doing, and they're bringing on a condemnation. Now, they're not bringing on a curse. As though you're cursed in the presence of Almighty God, because that does happen. In this hour, it's over. And it could happen in a meeting like this. But he's saying, listen here, there's a judgment, so you better be careful. And he said, part of that judgment is you're weak and sickly. And many die. Now, let's go back to the fact of what these people were and what they were doing as they came together to do the breaking of bread, the eating, and the drinking. They were coming together in rotten spiritual shape because there were divisions and heresies, arrogance, and pride. That's why they were sick. And that's why they were dying. You don't see people take the Lord's Supper and fall over dead. Although at times you do find people take the table of the Lord and they get healed. And that's wonderful. But I find no scripture that tells me I've got to have the table of the Lord to get healed. I can be healed there. I don't have to even have a hands laid on me. Brother Branham said that's a Jewish ritual. But I do believe. Now let's be free of divisions, which I don't think there's any great big problem there, although there's no doubt there's some problem because of back, there's back here today because Alpha is Omega. But there's heresies. And I hope those are all cleared up. Coming together, happy to partake with each other, wash feet, take the communion. In other words, settling down with that same spirit that Jesus said, whereof he was not ashamed to call them something which is brethren, because they had one source, which is God as the Father. Now, as the day approaches that we are coming to that great moment with Christ in the midst of the church, and he is already here, that spirit should not only be amongst us, but should be prevailing by now. Now examine your hearts. Because the word of God cannot be changed. Just look at yourself. Where do I stand before God, the position he puts me? How am I conducting myself? Divisive things amongst us. Actual heresy. People still can't buckle down to the word. They've got to have their own ideas. Wandering thoughts like wandering stars. Stars that shoot across the sky only to burn out later on. Would you sell out for some little thing off the word to look good? That's ridiculous. Why would you want to do that? Amen. If anything's going to make you look good, it's the life that's in this word. Amen. Hey, do you know in the resurrection we won't have values as we have values today? They said to Jesus, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Because seven men had her. He said, hold it. He said, you don't know the first thing about the resurrection, the power of God. You don't know the Bible. He said, you've got your values all wrong. Well, hey, if the negative is getting more and more to the positive, our values should be more and more correct and to the point. Now, let's begin to move that way. Right tonight with the Lord's Supper, as a commemoration, as a dedication. Give ourselves over to the Lord to be just brothers and sisters. Not connivers or trying to have some kind of a thing going for us. It's only going to burn anyway. I tell you time and time again, I got a few pieces of silver. They're safely locked in the bank, safely to the degree when they find you're dead, they'll take them away from me. And it's all a joke. Because that doesn't mean a thing. Israel's got the paper. They're not going to give it up. How do you think they own everything and run everything? They got paper. Why are people cussing the Jews? Why are they getting angry? Why is America turning on them? They got the paper. Do you hear what I said? Did the prophet say it? Well, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. That's exactly true. They got the paper. So who's got the gold? Rome. What have you and I got? Nothing. We're the pawns and the suckers. The little guys. So they hate the Jews. And we're going to turn on them. You follow me? Hey. Believe what I'm telling you, because it's the truth. Let us sink in, because it's not true to most of us. We live in a little world. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Jews are hated. Even Brother Branham couldn't stand the Wall Street kike. Nobody can. Why do you think Luther was after him? Why do you think Hitler tried to get rid of him? They got the paper. So they will get with Rome. And the paper and the gold come together. What are we going to do? We'll be gone. Hallelujah. We better get ready to go. We better get our lives straightened up. Better begin to see what I've been preaching. Communion night. Every month I preach little sermons on communion. And I bring out little things. What are you doing with them? What am I doing? We're not here to play church. No. We're not playing. I can tell you one thing. Satan is a very rough playmate. I like playing with Satan. But Jesus takes little children on his knees and blesses them. Let's rise, shall we? Brethren, come forward right at this time. Consecrate the emblems. You all know how to come. Let's pray. You gentlemen ready then to take the emblems. Heavenly Father, we want to consecrate these emblems and stand as it were as the prophet said, guard over them. What he meant by that, we really don't know. But we stand here watching, Lord, and if it's pleasing to you, then it's very pleasing to us. Some things we'll never understand. Perhaps, maybe we will. But we understand what you said in your word tonight, Lord, that Paul by revelation said this. We know, Father God, the condition and the attitudes of people's hearts are very, very important. What they really want to worship you according to spirit and in truth is what it all amounts to. They want to worship you in their own spirit and their own truth, as they call it. That's what amounts to there. But we can be two people tonight, Lord. One worshiping in spirit and in truth according to the word, and our hearts with that same spirit of the word. Or we can go against it. And you said we're going to reap what we sow. And even amongst us, Lord, that even could start with the right spirit and want to be really right. Hopefully you are right. Satan could come in, twist a little here and twist a little there, and sickness come and even death. We know that's only too true. Father, we appreciate so much what you do for us, especially how you help us to be illuminated. Don't let us go, Lord. We're a pretty poor bunch of people to be followers, but don't let us go. Help us, Father, over the hurdles of life until one day we come into your presence on the sure grounds of grace. Nothing in our hands to bring. Simply to your grace, Lord, we cling, thanking you that we're yours, not of ourselves, but of yourself. So bless everyone going through tonight, Lord. Heal the sick amongst and help us to walk in the light as we have not hitherto. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the brethren, you just go ahead then. Thinking tonight, I'm kind of tired, but that's beside the point. Just thinking in the days of Paul, there was no God but Paul's God. There was no word but Paul's word. We've come full turn from Alpha to Omega. There is no God but the God of Elijah, William Mary and Branham this hour. There is no word but the revealed word. And that's true. That makes worshipers against non-worshippers. In the sense of correct worshipers. And who's on the Lord's side. That's serious. It's uplifting. It should never be uplifting to the extent that it fails to be serious. Otherwise, we're walking in pride. Must always remain serious and sober concerning this, good Brother Branham was.
doesn't hurt us to try to be like him. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, as we go tonight, we know that you're going with us. Your hand's upon us for good, Lord. We're in your heart, you're in our hearts. And Lord, we're in each other's hearts as one people. From this time on, Lord, it must be so as never before there is a unity. In hearts, minds, and lives, a unanimity there also. All setting our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. In honor, preferring each other, humbly waiting for the resurrection, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great wedding supper. May your name be blessed. May your name be glorified. That is all we ask. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. It opens. Perfect. Good to have a trained Bible. All right. We'll read it. Just a second. You know, Paul got this by revelation. Never forget that. You know, if you forget that, you say, well, you know, somebody came and talked to Paul. You know, back in those days, he heard those rumors. He heard about this one Jesus that's supposed to have died, and they cut him up in pieces. This name, he might have heard that. I don't know. I don't know what he heard. But he says right here, he did not know this except God told him. And you'll find that this is exactly according to the 13th chapter of John and so on. And you'll find that every single thing that Paul taught, Jesus already said it. I remember I went and told you in a little tiny little independent Baptist Bible college. It's a cute little place, you know, nice people. You know, they had a lot of sin there. A lot of grace, I guess. And they said that Jesus never gave the revelation of the of predestination. It was Paul that did it. And yet I can go to John chapter 6 and John chapter 8, and there's nothing but predestination. Just don't believe a Baptist, if he's independent. Don't believe anybody but a vindicated prophet. See, because it's too late, you never saw. All right. For I have received, verse 23, for I have received the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. And I like that because, you see, he said, I'm freed from the blood of all men because they haven't held a thing back. You know what that man's saying? He said, I didn't add one word. I didn't take one word. I'm free. How are you going to get free tonight? Don't add a word and don't take a word. See? Get your mind like the mind of the prophets. God will help you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Catholics still believe that the life is in it. And they got all kinds of reasons and everything else. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so he eateth that bread and drinketh that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth and drinketh judgment, condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Why, he's not understanding what was accomplished. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, that is, many people die. He tells us there that if you, like Brother Branham said, that the sweet spirit of Christ comes into the church and the sick are healed. The sweet spirit of Christ absolutely has to be where communion and foot washing takes place. Because it is a spirit of self-sacrifice. It's a spirit of where he got out of the way, gave himself that others may have life. He became sin and a sin offering. Actually, what it is, he became a sin offering. He that knew no sin, he didn't have to have one. If you don't sin, you don't have to have an offering. It's only when you sin. He himself became the offering for you and for me. And for this Holy Spirit to really impress that upon us, as Brother Branham said, the sweet spirit of Christ come into the church, taking this message for our healing, we can be healed. Brother Branham did not castigate or deny people the privilege of laying on hands, but he said that is a Jewish custom, it isn't necessary. He tried to get the people to the place where they would believe him to the extent that they'd be healed sitting in their seats. But remember this one thing. His message was not to be received by very many. It just wasn't. If his message had been received by the multitudes, he would not have been that one. Because you can't have the days of Noah. 8 people in the ark. And that's said flat. We're not saying 8 people. We're just saying a very few number. That's what it amounts to. You simply cannot have many when there's hardly any. I mean, let's face it. Now, let's look at the few people in this message. If every single person that names the name of William Branham, honestly and sincerely, and has a relatively good understanding of the message, they would be so few out of the 6 billion people on earth that they'd sure be 8 souls in the ark. So don't look at yourselves and say, well, hey, I don't think I'm going to make it. Now, don't be one of those people who say, well, if I don't make it, nobody's going to make it. Now, you see, that's being foolish. You see, by the grace of God, I believe. There's something I don't have. He'll supply it because he promised it. I've taken the first step. I'm the eagle that recognized the cry. So many people, as they heard Brother Branham, they just turned right away. I don't know if David Duplessis is dead or not. I don't care if he is or not, but I know Gordon Lindsay is. But right in a high, down at Middletown, right around Hamilton area, Chautauqua, they told the people flat, Brother Branham discerns, he tells the truth, he acts like a prophet. He's a prophet in that area. When it comes to doctrine, don't believe him. He hasn't got it right. How could a man have thus saith the Lord, like Moses and Paul? The very Bible says Jesus began both to do and to teach. And this man comes on the scene 100% vindicated, take a gift of healing to the world. He lays it before the people. And now when he speaks the word of God, he can't have it? Well, just a minute. If this guy's got $1 billion in gold and doesn't have it, and these guys got 2 bits worth of tin and they do have it, isn't there something wrong, brother? That's spiritual insanity. Amen. That's not just spiritual insanity. That's a corruption of the pride of the devil. That's man with these peanut 2 bits bonding himself against the judge, the ruler of the whole earth. The man says, I believe this Bible. He's a liar because the Bible condemns him. Well, sir, that's the truth. Well, don't be afraid of the word. Stand with it. I believe the more you'll stand with the word, the more Christ will stand with you. And the more he stands with you and me, the sweeter we'll get in that word. And it doesn't mean the world's kind of sweetness that, well, I can just let this go. Well, you know, if I'd offend you, I won't bring it out. Hogwash. You think you can sit here for 1 minute and come against this word? You're not a nice person like you think you are. You may be diplomatic. You may be suave. But you're just a liar. And you call that sweet? I call that hypocrisy. God for it. Paul, write down the words. Said, look, I've received it. I give it to you. I'm free from the blood of every person. Now, if I can stand here tonight and preach this word honestly, sincerely, word by word in the prophet, and let's say I'm true. Let's say that I am right. I can't prove anything. I've never told you. Did you listen to me as any kind of authority? Listen to your pastor, this or that, to take you through. He'll take you through all right. You get through the wrong gates. No, nobody can tell you that. But if, let's just say for 1 minute, I have told you the truth. I don't have anybody's blood on me tonight. So, Brother Vail, you insulted me. That's Lee Vail. That's nothing to do with the red. That's nothing. I can apologize for that. That's no problem. The big thing is this word, your mind, my mind, one with the word that's been vindicated? I want to ask you, if that's the truth, then, what spirit is in us and with us? You say, well, it's got to be the spirit of Christ. Then I want to ask you a question. Was the Spirit of Christ anything but sweet? There's your answer. Sweet Spirit of Christ is amongst us. We're just not believing. Can anybody be healed tonight passing through this line? Sure, anybody and everybody, no problem. That's the word of God. Let's rise at this time. The brethren come forward quickly, and those that are going to play. Foot washing back yonder and foot washing here too. Our Heavenly Father, again we want to approach your great throne of grace and of mercy and of love and sweetness, the sweetness of Christ. We know, Lord, that we look at ourselves this way, that way, and we sort of draw away from the real truth, the real sweetness, which always was with your prophet and has to be with people full of the Holy Ghost. Because, Lord, we don't intend to use you wrong, nor do we want to in any way. And if we have, we certainly humbly apologize. And ask for that sweet Spirit of Christ to come amongst us, healing the sick as they pass by. Taking these emblems, Lord, and believing the truth as it has come forth vindicated. Help to that extent, Lord, we give you the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I believe it's been good to be here tonight. And I think one thing we learned, as the Apostle Paul said, some come to church and go away in worse shapes than they came, but I believe we'll all go away in better spiritual shapes than when we came, particularly as we think of the fact, I must admit I've been making a mistake myself this last while, that Brother Branham said, always looking down the road and always looking back, but not believing what's going on. I've been thinking, because he prayed, may the sweet Spirit of Christ come into the church, I didn't believe it had come yet. But I believe it's here. It's just a matter of recognizing. Like you recognize the day and your hour. We recognize that. Everybody else does. But recognizing the presence, as some only a few people like us do. So let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we wish to thank you for your goodness and kindness to us, Lord. We just pray as we go now, the sweet Spirit of Christ which we have will become more and more manifest in us and through us, even as it has been manifest to us. And we live this life in the sweetness and loveliness of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the very sick amongst us, Lord, going home tonight, already starting their healing, the blessing of God upon them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Take the name of Jesus with you.
When necessary. But I'm going to read out of the 10th chapter of Hebrews. I figure that's just the place to look tonight. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, remember, Christ was the image of God. These things were just an image, types, can never with these sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. No way, because they have to come every year. For then they would not have ceased, for would not they have then ceased to offer? Sure. Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. Now, that's a tough one right there. But it lets you know that, believe what he's really talking about here, is that you know that there just isn't any more offering. And if there isn't any more offering, this is it, or else. You're not going anywhere. Take it or leave it. Live, die, sink, or swim. This is it. You follow me? He's in here. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance, again, of sins every year. In other words, forgiveness, where is it? Justification, where is it? Now, sanctification, that's a growth. But justification means you have been declared righteous by God. As many people often say, justification is just as though I had never sinned. See? For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. In other words, hey, this isn't working. You don't like it. Let me do something about it. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hast pleasure in them, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What's he doing? He's taking away every single thing that God didn't have any use for. Didn't want.
and he brings in exactly what is pleasing to God, or which is in the atonement, is called the satisfaction of Christ. God is thoroughly satisfied. Now, by the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once. Now it says for all, you don't need it in there. Because he's talking about that. Not every time, every time, every time. It's once, that's it. So if sin is going to be dealt with, it's already dealt with. And to take it as God gave it through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is nothing more you can do about it in the sense of that. Now there's plenty you can do. Repent, be baptized, name the Lord Jesus Christ, receive the Holy Ghost, apply word upon word, and keep moving. Even the minimum is a further sanctification. But he's talking about taking away sin. How is sin dealt with? Now watch. Every priest in verse 11, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, now he's a man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down the right hand of God. In other words, now what he did makes him the chief man in God's plethora of, of whomever, angels, archangels, everybody else. Like only begotten son means one of a kind, no more. This day have I started my genealogy. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Now that's taking place now. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, at the presence, at the time of the dead. It starts where the Father's taking every single thing in his control and putting it under the feet of him who is now on the throne, because Brother Branham said, this one's a lamb from on the mercy seat, climbed off the mercy seat, took the book out of the hands of him that sat upon the throne, ripped open the seals, handed the book back, climbed on his Father's throne. And he himself said, he said, I'll grant to you who overcome to sit in my throne as I am now set down in my Father's throne. So one time, Jesus was the chief messenger of God. Who's the messenger of Jesus today? God is. Right. Right. Because he's the one down here telling us. Using a prophet. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now listen, the sanctification, brother, sister, is up in verse 10. Sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus. Not some sanctification process you now go through after you're born again. This has to do with him. And we're drinking the blood and eating the body figuratively concerning this. Once and for all. And what we do tonight looks back on the once and for all. The blood of bulls and goats was day after day after day after day after day, year after year, and they died and they died and they kept it up and the ashes mounted and the bulls, the number of bulls increased and everything else. Forget it. God said, I can't stand anymore that. Why? The people use it wrong. It became a place where they ignored the word and went their own way. Idolatry, everything else, they sacrificed. Say, hey, it's okay, we sacrificed. Hey, okay, I've been to church and put my name in the book. Hey, I'm okay. People haven't changed, brother, sister. Come on, listen. Except they got worse. That's all. That's all. Same old rotten thing. Now, he says, for by one offering, he had a perfect forever, them that are sanctified. Brother Branham said, like I quoted tonight, in Matthew 5:48, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Nobody but Brother Branham said this. He said if God demanded, he's got to make a way for it. And how can you call a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, scatters sin until there be no evidence? And when there's no evidence, they throw it out of the court. And what are our crooked courts in, right in Dayton doing? The cops steal it or sell it. If it's dope especially, they did it. What on that 7 pounds of dope they had? Huh? Sealed up in somebody's safe. And the guy comes to court. Come on, judge, bring in the evidence. Somebody took it. Case dismissed. Crooked judge, rotten cops. All I can see, this is not a crooked judge and rotten cop. This is God and he's working his own plan. Now listen, watch. For by one offering. Now watch the next verse. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. What's he telling you? repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost comes in as the witness. And also, it's also even deeper. The Holy Ghost came back on the day of Pentecost, showed who he was to the Apostle Paul, showed it right down the line. We'll talk about that too. We have talked about these things. Talk about more. And this is the covenant that I will make them with them after these days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their hearts, and their minds I'll write them. Now, I believe that's partly fulfilled already, and is yet to be fulfilled. To be fulfilled is part of the millennium, and even beyond there, where the Bible, where Brother Branham said, the Lamb on the throne, the pillar of fire above the throne, and before they call, I answer. So you see a fulfilling word of God here. Now watch what he says. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more, neither will they. But watch, 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Then you don't offer, what do? You believe the offering is over. That's a mediator, brings you in, intercessor, keeps you in. If you don't throw away your confidence, brother, sister, you got it made. Paul warns us right in the book of Hebrews. Don't throw away your confidence. But like the old saints of old, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, were persuaded, embraced them, and confessed. Hey, we're just waiting for that day. Before us, every single church age, they confessed, hey, we're waiting for the day. Hey, we're waiting for the day. And there's the day. There's the day. And it's, oh, I can't take that. That's why 8 souls make the ark. Right. When the days of the Son of Man repeat, they don't understand it. Throw it out. Even people believe this message. They make Brother Branham the Son of Man. They say, Brother Branham, somebody said you're the Son of Man. I thought the pillar of fire was the Son of Man. Oh, he said, you make a mistake. He said, it's neither one. What's the days of the Son of Man? Exactly what it says. Same ministry, same Holy Spirit operating through God himself here, doing the mighty works. How's he done it? Through a prophet. Remember, Jesus was a prophet. A prophet like unto me was the great key of Moses. Before it was the seed of the woman. Then came along Abraham. And it said right in there, a royal seed coming up. And him, that seed, the royal seed, should all nations of the earth be blessed. Now it comes right up to Deuteronomy 18. The Lord raised up a prophet like unto me. Now you're back to Acts 3, looking back. People want to crown him King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They can't even make him a prophet. Huh. What do you think anyway? Come on, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's the roles, the dominant and the subdominant. Sure. He died. He shed his blood. And the Holy Spirit's witness. Now, you know something? Let me tell you something. Not one of you sitting here tonight need to take these emblems in your faith. You don't need it. Forget it. Because your faith didn't produce anything. What I'm trying to tell you is what you saw in this man and what came down there had nothing to do with us per se. If we admit, knowing that this is the vindicated truth of Almighty God and the hour of the resurrection, and then positively, you're here. You don't have to have faith. Why? Because it's not a matter of faith anymore when you get the answer. It's knowledge. You know that you're commemorating his death. You know that the life was shed and has come back. And you know the very life itself is in our midst, the pillar of fire, God. It's a fact. You're no longer faith. Abraham and Sarah didn't have to believe for conception as soon as she got pregnant. It was over. Now they just had to believe for gestation 9 months. And then that was over. No more faith required. The next thing was what? Faith to raise him. And then he got reared up. No more faith required. You see how the word dies in each age? It's not required. Here comes the knowledge. We're in a place of knowledge tonight. Now abide faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And listen, faith makes you to know there's a promise. Hope is earnest expectation. I'm entering into it. But why is love greater? Because it is. Love stands right there and believes it. Sure, it costs something. But love stands right there and embraces it, knows it, and loves it. That's Brother Branham said. You stand in the resurrection here, and you love each other. Why? Because of the Word. The corrected Word. What's a corrected Word? It's a bullet that went off a course. It was aimed in the garden. Zoom, like this here. And Adam went chunk. Oh, Lord. What a mess. Brings it back at Calvary. Starts the bullet over again. What happens? Another Jesus. Another spirit. Another God. Boing. There it is again. God's in threes. And the last day brings it back. Now what? Nothing can change it. It's over. No way. This bride here will never mess up. This bride here knows who she is. She's children of the resurrection. And so when you commemorate tonight, you say, Lord, I know that you died. I know the atonement. And I know the life that came in because I've seen it. God didn't only go down to Egypt with Moses and appear in signs and wonders. He himself visibly appeared upon Mount Sinai and pillar of fire. So today we have his picture by the camera. What more do you want? Feel better? I think a burden lifted off of me too. That's right. The brethren come forward to serve, and how you do usually, and you know how to come. The ladies know where to go out there for foot washing. Everything's in order. The table facilitates, makes it much easier. So when you're finished, we'll just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we want to thank you for your word, Lord, that you give us, and we are so pleased, Lord. And even with ourselves, with the fact that we are vessels that are enlightened, Lord, and this means so much to us to know we're enlightened, and we don't want to have a sort of grubby humility here which is totally irreverent in the fact we try to downgrade ourselves and thereby downgrade what you did, because we just read where we're sanctified with him. He did it. So, Father, we're not downgrading ourselves tonight. We're believing we're sanctified and part of this resurrection somehow, and we rebuke the devil and everything else that buggers about it. Stand right here, Lord, believing. We believe that you died. We can say we know that you did die. We know that you rose because the Spirit bore witness. God himself come down and proved the facts. And so tonight, Lord, we're people who can truly commemorate and say thank you, Jesus, for the shed blood upon Calvary, the life that came back, the suffering that you gave, not only to take sin away, but to take away the corruption of sin, which is proven by healings amongst us and one day immortality. Oh God, humble us tonight with the sweet, lovely spirit of humility in our midst, that we can accept those wonderful things you said about us. I know, Lord, Sarah couldn't do it that day. But Lord, when you discern, she said, I am a mother. She even had to lie about her thoughts. But she believed. Surely, God, tonight we can believe and do believe. And may it be as we partake. It was one offering once and for all, and we admit it. We stand in the sanctification through this all. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, amen. All right, Brother Lloyd, you can... Remember Brother Branham, the odd time he used to say after a service, now he said, doesn't that feel good, like a real scouring out? I've never been able to say that till tonight. I think that I can say with a measure of faith that we've had a good scouring out by the Word. That being the case, the weeds have been plucked up. And now all the good food that's in the husbandry of God can now be utilized to the true seed. So that's a good thought to end on. Tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, and afterward we'll have lunch together. Shall we rise and be dismissed? Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your kindness to us. We appreciate your love and mercy which has been manifested in this hour to us. And we know that is true. And we trust, Father, because it is true, it will not simply be the words of our mouth, although that's necessary, but it will be from our hearts. For a man maketh a confession with the mouth what lies in the heart. And we know that as much as we know, and knowing it even more and more and more until one day full assurance of faith comes to us like Abraham, because we're Abraham's seed, through you.
we'll be able to stand right here and know in the measure that we're supposed to know, even like the prophet, who, of course, is an example set before us. Dismiss us now with thy love, mercy, and grace, Lord. Keep us, protect us. We pray for a good night's rest, for real strength in the spirit, if not in the bodies, to come tomorrow with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost through that blessed, wonderful word in there. And under no condition, Lord, to be a love that is hypocritical, but an absolute love, even as we found tonight the prophet taught us based upon the word. Unto thee we give the glory and the honor in the holy name of Jesus Christ, our blessed, beloved Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Before the communion service, we're going to turn to the book of Corinthians, the first book, that is, of course. And we'll look at chapter 10. And remember, in chapter 11, you really have the actual teaching on the Lord's Supper that Paul brought. And they had gone into bondage with it. They desecrated it, and thereby desecrated themselves. And they were a people who were not going on with the Lord. Now, in the 10th chapter, it said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." And Paul uses that terminology more than once in the book of Corinthians. In fact, they're the ones who let their minds go under the evil thoughts of those false prophets and false apostles and teachers amongst them, so that they have a wrong Jesus, a wrong spirit, a wrong word, which is just about as wrong as you can get. So you imagine what kind of fruit this brought up through the ages. Now, he corrects them, and he said, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea," the very ones that Brother Brooks talked about tonight coming up in Goshen there in Egypt. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, that rock was Christ." Now, in there you'll notice that as they came out of Egypt, they were a mixed multitude, and they all came out under the blood. If they hadn't had the blood, the firstborn of each household would have been destroyed. And so they all could not have come out. And you notice all came out under the cloud. They came out under the blood. And they went through the wilderness, through the Red Sea. They were under the cloud and in the water. And they ate of the spiritual meat. So you'll find there that actually then God was over them, God was in them, and God was with them. Just like we have today, as Brother Branham said, the threefold. And you'll notice also they're baptized correctly, which was a physical and a spiritual baptism. And we have the same promise today also, because Brother Branham brought us the truth of the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. Which we positively know to be because of the evidence of believing the Word, which has taken us from idolatry. And if we read further in this chapter, you would find that they're examples to us, and Paul said, "Neither be idolaters as some of them were." Because they sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play, they went into fornication, and 23,000 fell in one day. So you can see that simply coming out does not necessarily take you in. You've got to prescribe to the truth of the correct water baptism, the correct baptism with the Holy Ghost, the correct food, which was the manna sent down from heaven. And even then, you're in danger. Not that it's going to harm you. You're going to be carrying along with you a lot of people who don't belong, and they will never make it. Now, in the end time, of course, we've come out under a prophet, and we've come out with the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, the true water baptism, and the true word of Almighty God. And those days, they were with the rock that was riven, the spiritual rock that gave them drink. And in our time, of course, the world's crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. And from him has come that life of the word which we enjoy abundantly, which will take us into immortality. Now, in the 16th verse, he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Now, the word communion, of course, means a participation in. It means of an associate, of course, and a sharer that are participating. So the very fact that we take these emblems, like Brother Paul mentions in the 11th chapter, shows that we are actually in communion and in participation with Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham brought that out to such an extent as to absolutely floor us and to really make any fundamentalist who is really determined and bound in all things to give praise to God and exceptional glory, which glory he does not want to enter into because he feels he can't do it. Brother Branham categorically said when Christ died for his sins, he was there with him dying for his own sins. And that's a very strong statement. And as I say, most people would turn it aside, but he said the blessing which we, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? Is it not participation in? Is it not the proof of our association we're sharing in the blood of Christ? In other words, as Brother Branham said, I was there, we were there also. It's a difficult thing to understand, but there again, as Brother Branham was given the right by vindication to declare those things which were not known from the foundation of the world, which I would say simply means this, that the fullness of the mystery, the truth that lay therein, was reserved for this last hour. And he said, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? In other words, when he died, did we not die also? And in this hour, of course, we also look at the fact that he said, for we being many are one bread and one body, we're all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? And, of course, Christ is our altar. Now, if you look at all these things, you find here a perfect identification with Christ from the beginning to the end, which is all worked out in the literal participation of the breaking of the bread, the taking of the bread, and the drinking of the wine, wherein we see the blood of Jesus Christ was shed in order that the life might come back upon us, which we know that that life truly did. So, we have passed from idolatry into a true worship of Almighty God. And we are that particular body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are particularly living on the very life of Christ himself, as Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you can see that all of the depth of the sacrifice, the atonement, as people call it, Dr. Pink calls it the satisfaction of Christ, whereby God was perfectly satisfied, perfectly with the sacrifice of Jesus, and brought it all to the point where God could raise him to the dead, from the dead to life, and bring it back upon us. And what we see here is, in the end time, the visualization of a bride of Christ who is totally and perfectly that spotless, pure, virgin bride, because the blood perfects the bride, the complete identification with the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that he is, not something that he was and not something he will be, but something that he is, the very thing that he is, so that we have no reason to bring the table of the Lord, the two elements and what we are doing, into simply a matter of a rite or a ritual. Because though people would bring it to that particular level, it is the same as though you attempted to bring God to a particular level, which he is not. He cannot change. It means the same. So what I'm trying to say in here is the same that Brother Brooks was saying. It doesn't matter how much you feel or don't feel. It matters that you and I look at the truth, and in the presence of him who is here, walk in the light of that truth, that this is what it says. You're right back again to the fullness of assurance of faith of Abraham, who at the time of the quickening, which was, of course, Abraham and Sarah are a type of immortality. The body changed back just before the bringing of the Son and flesh upon earth. God who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they be. Now, why does he do that? Is because it is true, and he is giving the revelation of that which is true. And as we accept the revelation of that which is true, giving back to God what he gave us, we have that very communion and fellowship that Bob was talking about, walking in this light, and therefore it must come to pass. Now, as I mentioned many, many times in the 11th chapter, Paul said, you come to church, you take the communion, you leave in worse shape than when you came. Now, you can see why that is so. Because they could not relate to the type, knowing that this was the antitype, and of the washing of pots and pans, the shedding of the blood of bulls and goats, a heifer and a turtle dove and so on, could possibly work in behalf of Israel to their commendation and to their well-being in a physical land, which no matter whatever God did for them, they must one time cease and no longer exist. What must actually then Christ in his ministry of life and death and life accomplish, especially at the end time, where the promise is we walk into immortality? Now, many people are saying, we don't take communion anymore. And that's one thing that Brother Bob mentioned, that we do not associate ourselves with those who call themselves Branhamites. And they do such things because they are walking 100% contrary to Brother Branham. When did he ever cease to do it? When did he ever deny anybody the right? I have a question from Europe again. They're still wondering over there in France. A lovely brother. He's still wondering. About what did Brother Branham do about people when they came through and they had communion? I saw him serve communion or stand right by, and a woman with the gugaw on her face and all her short hair. And she's a lovely person, but she didn't have a clue. What has that got to do with you and me? She either drinks it, condemnation, or judgment under herself. Nothing to do with it. He said there's only one reason you deny anybody communion, and that is that they are gross immorality. People coming amongst the people. Seductive men particularly is what he's referring to. We understand this is that which has been laid down in the Word of God. And it is a little ceremony, a rite, like water baptism, foot washing, in the Word of Almighty God. It makes us to look back and realize that there is a fullness in this. That you are simply memorializing what is really true. That's why you have a parade, because there's a war won in 1918. Mostly, I guess, going into 19, but 14 to 18, 4 years of war. Then there's a war won later on. This war we didn't win. We'll never win another war. There's no wars to win, because we're shot ourselves. How can the losers win wars? We're losers. We've been losers for a long time. But here, you see what God has done. And as we memorialize this, if we can begin to let our thinking go like we're letting it go with the white throne and in the resurrection, begin to give way in our thinking with this tonight. And he said, moreover, brethren, I don't want you in ignorance. See, I don't want you in ignorance. Was it an accomplished fact that this happened to your forefathers? Israel today is still resting on this. Get Jerusalem Post and read it for yourself. Every time there's an article in there by a very outstanding rabbi. They're convinced of Messiah. The more you read of Israel, the more you're going to find out they had phony messiahs. And people by the thousands flocked to Messiah. What has perpetuated Israel? They know way back there. Now look, if that could sustain them for roughly 4,000 years, and Messiah still hasn't come to them. What is wrong with Christianity not being sustained by the truth of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which they symbolize many, many times in the taking of the communion. And Israel is standing through every trial and every temptation, and there's going to be 144,000 sealed in. And they look back, and Paul said, now remember, remember what happened back there. And he said, now look at this. Now I hope we get our hearts stirred tonight to realize that we can leave this service tonight after communion and foot washing with a more earnest expectation and an understanding in our hearts to say, look, I don't have to understand it all. The word of the prophet said, I'm before the white throne. We are. You can't change it. That's in several places. Lloyd just showed me one tonight we looked at, and I plumb forgot where that was. A message of grace. He said in the prayer, said in another place. And then he says so many other things, right in the resurrection. It's all the events proven. If that's the case, we're right in the rapture. All of these things are spiraling up like a cyclotron, greater and greater, breaking. Moving higher and higher, and actually moving faster. If we can accept that, and we're learning to accept it, how many times do we have to do this? That's the question. And how many more years? People will say, yes, that's true. This is my association with the blood. This is my association with Him. This is my association with the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I'm doing it, because this is it. Now that shouldn't be too difficult. It may be a little difficult because we put it in the form of a ritual. But you know, if you go to your Bible, you're going to find this, that there is no voice in the air without some kind of a meaning. There is nothing in this world without some kind of a meaning. And if this is so thoroughly explained as to its meaning, we ought to pay the more earnest heed. And not be in ignorance, and not be forgetful, but to know we're coming here tonight, and this Lord's Supper, the cup of blessing which we bless it. Is it not our participation, our association, our sharing in that blood, in that life, the bread? Is it not our sharing, absolutely showing our participation, our association, being a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not know that we are one with Him? His brother Branham said, He became us that we might become Him. All of these things are in here. And since Brother Branham was thoroughly vindicated that he brought us the true word of the hour, and he brought before us some of the very things I mentioned tonight, and we know they're vindicated, it's up to us to begin to come to that place that Bob spoke of, that place of repentance, of course, which is a change of mind. And you'll know that Jesus said in here, frankly, I stand at the door and knock. You read that. So I'm asking you to repent, to change your mind. Him that overcometh, I'll grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father. Now, do you want to know where he started to overcome? If you don't know where he started to overcome, we're going to take you right back to Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, to be equal with God, but emptied himself, made himself a reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, made a likeness of men. In other words, Jesus had to change his entire thought pattern. Yes, he did. He had to change the entire thought pattern of himself and everything he believed that was within himself from God, that was justly his by being a son and equal with God, firstborn. He had to literally put that mind all to one side and take on Exactly, you might say the opposite. And he did it. Now, if the mind of Christ is in us, which it is, Paul said so, we have the mind of Christ, he brought the revelation, then in this hour, we have to lay aside our own thinking, every bit of it, and come into the identification with his thinking. I think that's as clear as I can put it tonight. I put it this way different times, but not quite this way. I've used different scripture. So we're not playing games. We're not asked to join in some little ritual. What we're looking at is not a charade. We're not acting out a drama. We're paying homage to the truth. And we're erecting ourselves a part of it. If you're part of the truth, you're part of the Word. If you're part of the Word, you're part of Him. If you're part of Him, you're part of God. If you're part of God, you're eternal. You're right back to the cycle again. So may the Lord bless us as we take tonight the emblems and have the foot washing carried on. At this time, then let us rise. The brethren come forward, those who are going to play. You know how we conduct our services. Those who do not, there'll be people here to help you. How we finally come around, make our exits, and with the least disorder. Where are the brethren? Of wine, we have one for the bread. It makes it much faster. They go on both sides of the table here, making it much easier for people to come by and be served. So shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to again pray now that you will consecrate these emblems unto us. And we know, Lord, in themselves we do not believe in transubstantiation, Lord, that they become literal body. We have never believed that. We believe the truth of the Word, which these are emblems. These are representative, but in doing it, there's something far deeper than somebody just saying, oh, this is the body, and so on. That's not it. This is a complete identification with reality, which you, at the end time, you have pronounced yourself to be the reality. I am the way, the reality, the God of the Amen. So, Lord, tonight, help us in our present mode, our present way, this last hour of the depth of revelation, the greatness and goodness of God, coming right back to the truth as it was in the Apostle Paul, the same revelation where the bride was not off track. There was a little group, Lord, that identified exactly. Lord, tonight we know there's got to be a group again that identifies exactly. So may we identify exactly tonight, Lord. May that Spirit, your own Spirit that's here, in wisdom, revelation, knowledge of yourself, bring this knowledge to ourselves tonight as the prophet did as he stood there and boldly declared the full, absolute declaration of truth is a complete identification with you, right there. And so, Lord, we're believing it now and thanking you for your presence. And thanking you with your presence here that we can do what we're going to do, knowing you're looking on us. And we trust with great approbation, we know that you love us. But may it be full approval tonight and the right dividing of the Word and the right understanding within our hearts, the right attitudes. And coming together as a right attitude people, right-minded people, not only toward you, but toward each other. So we enter in, Lord, into real communion. They were members of you, members of each other, a complete body tonight. We ask these mercies, Lord, as we continue in the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy to have all of you here. And trust you have a good night's rest tonight. And come back tomorrow morning. And receive even more. After all, the Lord's arm is not shortened. And his goodness and mercies never run out. We just look for more and more. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again we want to praise and thank you for your kindness to us, Lord, for your good friends amongst us, some from overseas and some from a great distance, Brother Bob being with his family. All these things, Lord, are so precious because our eyes are not on any one person except you, Lord, in the person, the form of the Holy Spirit tonight. And you're the great one in our midst, and we certainly do appreciate that. And we pray that somehow some little bit of honor has gotten to you, Lord, that you know that we love you and we would love you more, Lord, respect you more, show more deference and homage to you, to be more sincere, more complete in you, Lord, that because we know that's where it all is, and we're looking for that. Help your people tonight to realize your sweet Spirit is here amongst us to heal the sick, that believers can be healed, Lord, and
And the servants of the Lord, as the prophet said, have right to healthy bodies. And we're all your servants. We're trying to serve you the right, O God. Bless homes tonight, marriages, children, anything where there's a need, anything, Lord, where there's a lack tonight. We pray that you'll truly make it up, O God. And your people be greatly encouraged, because there's every reason to be encouraged. And there's no reason to be discouraged. Even you said, when all the terrible things come upon the earth, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And that being true, redeem means we're going to get out of here. The price has been fully paid, and we thank you for it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.
Amen.